It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host on WGN Radio, and I have a wonderful show for you on this first Sunday in November, 2 days before the presidential election. My guest is my longtime friend, sometimes golfing opponent or partner, but oftentimes just an individual I enjoy talking with about things, is Britt Hume, who is the chief political analyst for Fox News, but he also is a guy who just knows a lot about the outdoors, has been at it a long time. And Britt, thank you so much for joining me this morning. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Charlie. It's always good to talk to you.
So I'm going to ask you a question that may take a while to answer. Why is there so little discussion about conservation today in presidential politics or national politics of any kind? And when I say that, I'm not talking about global warming or climate change. I'm talking about the hardcore conservation issues that you and I grew up with that, you know, spawned from Teddy Roosevelt and all the way through Jimmy Carter, George Bush, on and on and on. Presidents, really since Roosevelt, have paid a lot of attention to conservation, both on the campaign trail and once in office. What do you think is going on that you can't find the conservation word even mentioned?
Well, I think part of it, Charlie, is that people do associate it to some extent with the with the climate issue. And neither campaign is, this season at least, is much emphasizing that, although it's certainly an issue that I think the Democrats would like to emphasize more than is being done. I also think this, Charlie, that if you're talking purely about conservation, that it's not particularly controversial. Everybody's kind of for it, or you can't find anybody who says they're against it. Now, obviously, there are interests out there that would prefer to have all the freedom in the world to do what they want to our natural resources, but they're not going around saying that. So everybody kind of agrees, and issues that everybody agrees on don't really move the needle during a campaign season.
So that means unless we have discord, we can't talk about it?
No, unless we have disagreement, because it's disagreement that is the stuff of election campaigns. When people are, one of the things you do in an election campaign is you try to distinguish yourself from your opponent. I'm for this, he's for that, she's for this, I'm for that, different things. And on an issue where everybody, it's kind of an issue of almost universal agreement. Everybody's for that. That doesn't mean it's being done properly, being done well, or being done effectively, conservation, I mean. It just means that there's not a lot of controversy about it.
So in past elections, and I think, you know, a number of times when Gore ran against Bush, there was a great discussion about conservation and the environment and the overreach of the EPA. And, of course, we've had all these lawsuits with the Supreme Court about the Clean Water Act. All of that ultimately is political, is it not, Britt?
It is political. But, you know, if you think about those issues that were engaged, that were discussed in that campaign, they're kind of not on the table right now.
And is that because we've just sort of taken it for granted that we've had so much success? I mean, look. I'll give you an example. Our national parks are being more frequented with visitors than any time in history. They're overrun. And the infrastructure of our national parks is a disgrace. And I remember in 2008, and you will remember this too, Senator John McCain making that a central, of course he didn't win, but making that a central point of his campaign, that if he's elected president, he will really go to work to work on our national treasures. And yet we don't hear anything about that. And they're in worse condition today.
You know, I would say this, Charlie. I think, apropos of what you're saying, that if one of these candidates, presidential candidates, or even down ballot candidates, were to make an issue and a set of promises, or at least indicating that there'd be a real effort being made, that people would like that. It's just not clear to me that anybody would disagree with him. When everybody's agreeing, you don't get you just don't get very far with in a political atmosphere.
All right, so let me ask you up. You've been covering elections for decades, and you certainly have seen the ups and downs. what has happened to the tenor? Why have we apparently gone to such a place where if you agree on something, you can't talk about it? If you got great ideas, such as fixing our national parks and their infrastructure, you don't want to talk about it. What's happened?
Well, there may be an oversight, Charlie. I really think that you may be right about that. But I also think that in this poisonous atmosphere, people are, to some extent, want to hear about those issues that divide us more than the ones that unite us. People are bitterly divided. They're worried. They've got people thinking that if Donald Trump is elected again, that it will mean the end of our republic as we know it. And people who are supporting Donald Trump thinking that if Kamala Harris and Democrats get in again, we're going to have a wave of further inflation. We're going to have weak national defense. We're going to have, and these are front boiler issues. They really are. Issues. I mean, you think about national defense, for example, and foreign policy. If you don't get those right, people aren't going to care about the national parks. I mean, those are the top of the list of issues that people really worry about, and they're not always engaged in every election. They really aren't, and people think the fate of the republic is hanging in the balance in this election, and so certain issues slide down the list of priorities, and I think it's safe to say, Charlie, that the condition of our treasured national parks is one of those issues.
We are visiting with Brett Hume, who is just not only a great friend, but someone who knows more about these matters than anyone I know, Brett, and you and I talk about it often when we have a chance to be together. So I remember 2016, we were told it's the most consequential election of our lifetime. 2020 is the most consequential election. And by God, the sky is going to fall if the wrong person doesn't win this time. How do we get here?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because that stuff drives me crazy. I mean, the fact is that our constitutional system has proved remarkably durable over a long period of time now. It may be the most successful experiment in this kind of governance that has ever been recorded in history. And people have, to some extent, lost faith in it in the sense that they fret. As you suggested, if the other side wins, the sky will fall. I think it's a mistake. I think either candidate wins this time. The republic will move on. We may not make progress in all the ways we want as fast as we want, but we'll get through any of these things, any of these crises. We can certainly hope that a world war doesn't break out. But even if it does, my guess is America endures. And with it, I think, Charlie, eventually our national parks, which are, if they've fallen into serious disrepair, somebody will come along and say, we ought to repair them. And I think that politicians in both parties will agree to that.
Well, I don't think the sky is falling in Brit, but the sky might fall if I don't take a break for a commercial, which, as you know, in this business pays the rent. And in my case, Brit, we've had the good fortune I've done this show for almost 25 years, and Chevrolet has been our sponsor, which means that I can get around in the great outdoors. So if you're listening, please stay tuned. We'll be right back with much more of Brett Hume, and we'll talk about maybe some other issues in conservation. And maybe at the end of the day, Brett, if you want to look into your crystal ball in this chaotic situation and offer a pine what you might think happens in 2 days. But in the meantime, this is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host, and I'm visiting with Britt Hume, who probably needs no introduction to any of you, but if you want a formal title, he's the chief political analyst for Fox News. But more than that, he's a longtime friend and a person I so enjoy talking about issues, I guess, Britt, that are kind of weighty because you live in it. So we were talking about our national parks, and I guess you really haven't heard a presidential candidate since John McCain wax eloquence about Teddy Roosevelt and how important it is to maintain our national parks. And as you said before the break, that's probably because other issues seem to be on the front burner. And maybe back in 2008, we weren't talking about maybe such consequential issues. So you had time to, as you would say, think about issues that maybe are a little bit further down the priority scale. But when you look at the political spectrum, you I don't remember when you first started covering elections. Was it 88 or 84 or earlier than that?
My first presidential campaign was 1976.
So in 76, you had Jimmy Carter doing extremely well in all the ag states. And as time has moved on, Democrats, and this is never a political show, Britt, I never take a political position one way or the other, but Democrats have completely lost the farm belt over this period of time. And I think in part, my opinion, I'm interested in your thought, is that Democrats kept overreaching on trying to tell farmers what they couldn't do, and Republicans were more in line with private property rights and things like that. Do you agree with that at all, or is that you think other things happened that really the entire heartland left what would have been the party of Jimmy Carter before then?
Well, I think the Democrats have emerged over time pretty clearly as the party of regulation, much more so than the Republicans. And when there's a certain balance that has to be struck between regulating in the public interest and regulating in a way that alienates too many private interests. And pretty soon you regulate too many private interests, you've found that you've got a huge segment of the public and its interests arrayed against you. And I think that's what happened to the Democrats. And in the case of Carter in that era, that may have been the dawn of it. It was only 4 years from then that Ronald Reagan was nominated and won in a landslide and ushered in an area of considerable deregulation. And that's been a Republican issue and a Republican theme ever since.
And so you look at it, and obviously I'm talking to you from Chicago, where the WGN is the most listened to radio station across the heartland. And that means many, many people in agriculture and farmers are listening to you this morning. And I think what you said a moment ago, and yet we had George Bush, when he was president, he came up with the no net loss in wetlands policy, but he did it in a way that was not over regulatory. It was a bit of a way to both offer financial reward as well as offer regulation. And I, for a long time, Britt, have felt that the issue is we tell landowners, particularly agriculture, what they have to do, and we don't view them as actually making a living on their land. And to take it in a different term, they're no different than a factory, someone producing something. We don't go in and, well, we do to some extent, but we don't come in and pass draconian pieces of legislation. And yet we've done that across the agricultural sector. And that doesn't look like it's changing as far as whether you're Republican or Democrat, as far as where you come down on that, does it?
I don't think it does, and I think it's an issue that's worked for conservatives in the Republican Party for some time, and probably will continue to. There's a considerable body of thought now that we are a nation with too many laws and way too much regulation. And of course, what happens with these regulations is they're often not a direct product of the laws that are passed. They're an indirect product where Congress, in the way it writes these laws, leaves it up to executive agencies and regulatory agencies to figure out how to enforce them. And the result is these enormous bodies of regulatory verbiage that come pouring forth that people have to deal with. They're often sometimes contradictory. They're often burdensome. Sometimes they're nonsensical. And this is the atmosphere in which we live, and I think it's an atmosphere that will continue to favor conservatives and Republicans until that this begins to subside, if indeed it ever does.
I wouldn't bet it's ever going to subside. I think the poster child, of course, is the EPA, right, Britt? You've covered some of their things for years, and I cannot imagine back when Richard Nixon created the EPA and he had Ruckelhaus and Russell Train and people like that setting it up, that they could have ever imagined that it would grow like this. What do you think?
Well, it's the tendency of government. It's a tendency, people who have power tend to like it and think they're working for the good and believe in the cause of what they're doing, and they tend to want more power. And for some time now, they've been getting it. And the result is what you've seen, Charlie, what you're describing. And there's a tendency to want to centralize things. There's a tendency for the federal government to think it knows best and for it to act in what it considers to be the public interest, but which may end up being, an enemy of our free economy and an enemy of free people who wish to do with as they think they should be entitled to with their own private property. That's, I think, where we are.
Well, I also think we could be on the cusp of another quote-unquote sagebrush rebellion. I know you remember it well. Ronald Reagan started the sagebrush rebellion opposed to exactly what you're talking about, regulatory overreach. And in my world, and I think yours, you look at what's happening with the Bureau of Land Management and all these agencies, and a lot of farmers and ranchers are ready for round two of the sagebrush rebellion, particularly as it comes to conservation, because their hands are so tied.
I think that's right. And of course, I think one of the ways that this can happen is that the two parties have, seriously different constituencies. Agricultural America, open country America tends to be Republican, urban America, highly educated America tends to be Democratic. And Democrats tend to be the party of government and the party of regulation, therefore. And that is what we're dealing with here. And that is where the battle lines are drawn on these issues, and I think they'll continue to be. I think you're right, Charlie.
Well, what I really care about, Britt, and I know you do too, is that whoever's in charge, they care about the well-being of our natural resources, protecting them, enhancing them, because there are many generations to come, and we can't keep falling behind as we are right now. So, Britt, we got about 30 seconds left. Who's going to show up on Tuesday? Not to put you on the spot, but you said you got rural America, urban America. If you had to guess, what do you think happens Tuesday, or do we not know the results for months?
Charlie, I'll tell you, as Kamala Harris might say, my principles haven't changed. And one of my principles is that I don't do predictions. So I hate to disappoint you, but I'm not going to start now. I'm long enough without doing that.
Oh, you're such a wonderful guy, Britt, and I can't thank you enough. I knew, by the way, I knew that was going to be your answer because you've told me that forever. So thank you for your time, and most of all, thank you for what you do for America. You really have enlightened us for a long time, and hopefully you continue to do so for a long time, and I appreciate your coming on The Great Outdoors this morning.
I'm glad to do it, Charlie. Always good to talk to you. I wish you the best.
We're visited with Britt Hume. This is Charlie Potter and the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. Have a great week in the great outdoors, and remember to vote for conservation.